Welcome to Living in Beauty. It's Saturday, October 21st, 2017, day 460 on the road, and we're in Skidaway Island State Park in Savannah, Georgia. After the hurricane, we needed some beach time. Myrtle Beach State Park Campground stands out in sharp contrast to its surroundings. It seems impossible, this tiny seaside oasis, situated on tooth's edge of the voracious commercial strip of roadside attractions, high-rise hotels, and tourist condos, known as the Boulevard. Yet, by some miracle of nature, an abundance of trusting wildlife shelter within these two emancipated miles of undeveloped, protected coastline, its precious dunes intact, its bodacious live oaks unmolested. Apparently, at least for the immediate present, locals and visitors may have their cake and eat it too. The Boulevard and the wilderness. It's like walking inside a Pothast painting that's inside a Bosque painting. It's like dystopia and utopia in the fight of the century.
Go ahead, knock this fake King Kong off my shoulder. I dare you.
And hey, don't blame this on the rednecks. My ancestral bona fides are highly redneck on both sides, and figuring in that my mama sorta dated Elvis makes me almost redneck royalty. Me and mine know what tacky is and where it belongs, and any self-respecting redneck would take umbrage that tiny bowl blue water spews from every fake whale orifice, pirate ship, and waterfall on the putt-putt golf courses of Myrtle Beach. It looks like a hot toxic mess. That Southern Living magazine reviewers always manage to skip over that part should clue in the city council to call a serious come-to-Jesus redevelopment meeting. Anyway, as we drove down the boulevard, the crazy just kept going on and on, and just when we started talking about turning around and trying Ocracoke or Hilton Head or just forget the beach and go back to Asheville, the chaos was swallowed up by the trees when we turned off the highway and were instantly swept into a land of enchantment. Myrtle Beach State Park is easily the best thing going in Horry County. This must be one of the most beautiful park entrances in America. Speaking of crazy and chaos, we arrived on the 12th of September, the day after Hurricane Irma landed on Myrtle Beach. We drove in from Cary, North Carolina, where we waited out the storm at a Cracker Barrel parking lot. The night before that, the good folks at Grove Winery, a Harvest Host destination in Gibsonville, gave us refuge. And while there, Jim went online and picked the perfect campsite at Myrtle Beach State Park. As we drove in, we noted how the streets had already been cleared of storm debris, but the campsites were strewn with tree limbs and detritus. We worked for about 2 hours clearing our site. The next day, a cleanup crew arrived and, oh well. Most individual sites at Myrtle Beach State Park are spacious, set back from the road and separated by oaks, wax myrtles, hollies, poplars, magnolias, and shrubs. We chose site 295 on the last loop. There are 336 spaces. Most are back in with a few pull-throughs. There are no first-come, first-served sites, so all can be reserved online ahead of time. Even at capacity, the campground had a quiet, easygoing, and private atmosphere. Some campers complained of air traffic noise, but as former residents of Coronado Island, we barely noticed. This is a busy state park, popular with the locals who buy annual passes. The off-season post-Labor Day weather suited us during the morning hours, but afternoons could get hot and buggy. We chose to camp here without full hookups, just electricity and water, for $38 a night. Sites with sewer are slightly more expensive. When camping without sewer, we use park showers. The showers were as expected, the basics. The facility was outdated but recently tiled. The water was hot, and most days the bathrooms were cleaned according to schedule. Laundry facilities are adequate. The Wi-Fi is useless at Myrtle Beach State Park, but the Verizon cell signal was strong. We were delighted that our site came with a monk tree. We could always depend on this unique specimen for a good, deeply repressed, silent scream with our morning paper and coffee. And every night, before we lay our heads down to sleep, the monk tree faithfully carried on. And another visitor, the woodpecker, a frequent flyer over, stopped by one lovely day for brunch and to model for our new Nikon camera. The camp culture was all good vibes. We met Pat while walking Pico. Pat is a dog lover, a builder of trailers, a philosopher, a knife sharpener, the kind of guy who knows everything about you just by examining your knives. A true Renaissance man. The beach was only a 5-minute walk from our campsite, and nearly every day the red flag was out due to storm surge from the next hurricane. What was it? Maria? Jose? We've lost track. Early morning beach walks became routine. Myrtle Beach State Park and much of the Grand Strand is gloriously uncrowded after Labor Day, when dogs on leash are allowed. The park offers plenty of outdoor activities, nature walks, cabin rentals, beaches free of high-rise condominiums and hotels, the fishing and sightseeing pier, known as one of the best since it opened in 1992, is free with park admission. There's also a boardwalk for strolling along the dunes and plenty of clean bathrooms. Each tide changed the character, shape, and texture of the beach. Some days the surface was scattered with shells. Other days, a blanket of soft sand. Another day, it would have tide pools with small fish. A mysterious shore with many moods, characters, and architecture. I couldn't pull my eyes or camera away from that majestic pier, or the sea oats, or the sand so gentle on the feet. Occasionally, we went out for a bite. We rode our bikes on the designated bike paths into town to Tupelo Honey Cafe in the Market Common and had a great breakfast. Their patio is dog-friendly, and they also have a great happy hour on weekdays. And right next door to Tupelo, Jim picked up a new addition to his Tommy Bahama collection. One visit to the Myrtle Beach Boardwalk was enough, and being with friends made it special. One afternoon, we rode our bikes way off the beaten path to New South Brewing, the only brewery we could find in Myrtle Beach. New South had an IPA that suited our growler just fine, but the atmosphere was a bit rough and beer jointy, with no comfortable seating or dog-friendly atmosphere, and only a fair food truck. Also, they closed at 5 p.m. What's that about? The owner, who was the brewer, explained that the liquor laws are not an encouragement to expand his business for walk-in clients. Ah, so that's how it is, Myrtle Beach. Tidy bowl yay, craft breweries nay. I suppose I should just give in and accept it. Myrtle Beach is like a religion. It is what it is. In fact, the few times we left the park, it felt like expulsion from paradise. And when we went back in, baptism. Truth is, our 2-week maximum stay ended way too soon. I don't know if it's fascination or unfinished business, but we'll be back. But never during spring break. Thank you so much for joining us at Living in Beauty. If you like this post and want to be notified when a new one is released, please enter your email address and click the follow button at the bottom of this page. Well, that's it for now. Have a great week.